So this morning, I don't know, we're kind of up and down here with Sunday school. We'll be going round and round for a while. I guess Christmas will be Christmas. There'll be no Sunday school then. There'll be no Sunday school next week, right? Okay, no Sunday school next week. And after that, we'll have, I don't know, who's going to be there next? Oh, okay. Thank you, Tom. Tom's going to be next. And then, I don't know, I'll try to come back, and then it'll be Christmas, I think. So we might just do potpourri for a while. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I still want to finish touching on the feasts for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is I say to myself, why don't we know more about them? It's I don't know. It's Jewish, and it's Old Testament. No, it's for us, right? Why don't we know more about it? I don't know. To me, that's the standard that we miss. We miss what God wants. And the reason I say that is I want to have you turn to a couple of verses. Romans 15:4, please. And 1 Corinthians 10:11. So let's take a look at those couple of verses. Romans 15:4. Okay. In Romans it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So what is Paul suggesting at this point? The Old Testament is for our admonition, is it not? That's the only conclusion I can come to in looking at that. And then again, he says again something in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. He says, now all these things happened unto them for examples or examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Referring to, I think, the point that there'll be no more revelation. This is it. This is all you're going to get. So anybody says that God spoke to them for a revelation of something, it's just not true. This is all you're going to get. It's what you got. So enjoy it. But the whole point is, it's written for our admonition, so learn it, know it. That's my point. Get into the Word of God. It's got interesting stories in the Word of God. Did you know that, read about David and his mighty men? Did you ever read them? You know, David and his mighty men. He got guys that could sling a stone with either hand within a hair's breadth, it says. I mean, these guys were amazing, the mighty men of David. And when you read about these guys and their exploits, what they're willing to do, what they're able to do, killing in a snowstorm, this guy's killing a lion or something like that. Yeah, just amazing individuals. And what's all this written for? Our admonition that we have the God who's in control of that is the God that's in control of us and you right now. He never stops controlling anything and everything that you say, think, and do. God's always in control. Don't ever forget that. We think, well, woe is me, God doesn't care. Oh, boy. You know, even in your worst time, God cares and he's there. I had to encourage my brother the other day, not my brother, but my brother in the Lord. And you know, you're sitting in that chair because that's exactly where God wants you. It's hard, but that's exactly where God wants you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in that position. God's got each and every one of us exactly where he wants us. And I think if we forget that, then we forget what God's writing to us and what he's encouraging us to do. Why should this be an example to us? Because God wants us to know it. So what? Why are you saved? Anybody know why you're saved? To give glory to God? To be conformed into what? Oh boy, I tell you. You've been saved to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. How's that doing? How's that working? slow. Comes in dribs and drabs. That's what God wants. And everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay, when do we start doing that? You know, this season coming up, I love it. Why? The incarnation. The incarnation, do we understand that? Does anybody know what the Magnificat is? Anybody heard of the Magnificat? You did? What is it? Exactly. I want to look at that for Christmas, I think. Next time I get a chance, I think I want to do that. I want to look at the Magnificat. What Mary understood. Think about Mary, what she went through. You're going to have a child, but there's going to be no man. And oh, come on, that doesn't happen. I mean, the whole thing. Hey, Joseph, I want you to take that woman. Yeah, but she's been messing around. And in Jewish thoughts of those days, boy, that was also shame. But Joseph was dedicated. He did what God wanted him to do. When do you do what God wants you to do, regardless of the circumstances? We need a ton of bricks to fall on our head before we realize, I guess I've got to do that. That's what God wants. He never questioned, never said a word, never bellyached. He did it. We forget Joseph. You can just see him when the kid was 12 years old. Remember Jesus, 12 years old, he went to the temple, and Mary, my father and I were grieving, looking for you. I could just see Mary going like this to him, really. And Joseph, he reached over and he grabbed his tunic. He says, come on, son. I can just see him do just that. Come on, son. And the son came because he was obedient unto them. Yeah, that was amazing when you put that together. What an awesome picture. Our God wants us to live that same way. Be responsible to the God who loves you. Right? This is all preaching, isn't it? I haven't even started teaching yet. So let's teach instead of preach, okay? Okay, I just look at those things that... These things are written for our admonition, so that's why I like the feasts. They're written for us. Do you know what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, what day it was? Do you remember the day it was when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary? Passover. Yeah. He died on Passover. Here's the Lamb of God, John says, pointed out, the Lamb of God. He died on Passover. How about that? How about unleavened bread? The next day was unleavened bread. Remember? Friday, now it's Saturday. He's in the grave. Unleavened bread. The unleavened one, the one sinless. There he was. Could death keep that? No. Could sin have that? No. The unleavened bread was Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And then we'll look at the first fruits. Who was the first fruits? Him. And when did you do the first fruits? The Sunday after. Huh? So you have the Passover, Jesus died. You have Saturday, Jesus was in the grave. And the next day was first fruits Sunday. So we should call Easter first fruits. The day he rose from the dead. He fulfilled it all. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? That's who our God is. He fulfills the scriptures for us. And he does it through his blessed son. He doesn't do it any other way. So that's what I love about the word of God and the truth of it. And if we accept these truths, we're going to gain all that God wants from us. And that's one of the things I think we forget. We kind of go a different direction than God wants us to go in. So I just have this little, I should have had, or I should get some for you eventually before too long. I got you know, one of those things, print them out. And it has to do with, it speaks of the Passover, and then it shows you what the Passover was, the cross. And unleavened bread and first fruits was the resurrection. Then you had to wait 50 days. The Omer was then done. That means you start to count. You count from first fruits, 50 days, and you get Pentecost. And Pentecost was that time when the church was started, we know. But there was a period of time you had to wait until that happened. Then when that happened, there was the Feast of Trumpets that was going to happen. And that was a greater period of time. It would have been later in the year that you would have the Feast of Trumpets. Well, we now have this span of time from the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, to the Trumpets. And it's been a long time, hadn't it? Been a couple thousand years. It's the rapture. Yeah. The Feast of Trumpets is the rapture. And then you have what comes after that? The Day of Atonement. See that? See how it fits? And all these feasts fit God's prophetic word. So if you're not a dispensationalist, you might miss that. These end times. So the atonement, or the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, when that happens, that's the time of tribulation, because you're supposed to afflict yourself because of your sin, and that's the tribulation coming. Then after that, you have the last feast is Tabernacles, and that is represented and done in the millennium. So God sets it all up, and he's still in control. Isn't that awesome? And he does it through the Old Testament. And didn't he do something in the Old Testament for the mankind to know if he would take it up? Remember when Daniel was told about Nebuchadnezzar and about the statue? You're going to have four kingdoms for the world to know. Daniel was telling the whole world there's four kingdoms. That's all they're going to be. It's going to be nobody else going to control the world. Now, in our time, Hitler tried it and didn't work, and Napoleon tried it, didn't work, and I don't know, Charlemagne, did he try it? And Genghis Khan, I don't know how many others tried ruling the world and it didn't work. Because God says there are only going to be four. And there have been only four. And the next one to come along is going to be the revived kingdom, or the revived, what am I trying to think of? The revived Roman, yeah. That's going to be revived, and going to be clay and iron mixed together, and the hand that's a piece of the mountain is going to be taken and it's going to smash it. That's going to come together in the end times, but there are going to be no other world rulers. That's it. So God spoke to the world through the Old Testament and Daniel. And then he also spoke to the world through the Jewish history of the feasts. But the fact that the Jew keeps the feast is God's reminding the world of what's going to happen. Isn't that amazing? That's what I love about the Word of God. It's our God under control explaining things to us. All we have to do is say, hey, that's good. Let's understand it. You're late. You didn't miss much. I just preached a little bit, so you're all right. So when I look at this, I say, well, this is worth looking at in that case. You know, why do I say that? Well, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Could somebody find that and read it for us, please? Colossians chapter 2, 16 and 17.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are shadow things to come. But the body is of Christ.
Shadow of things to come. Huh? We keep our is this all there is? No. See? Why are we get up every morning? Because things are still going to happen. I think God still has us get dressed in the morning because things aren't done yet. Get up and do what you're supposed to do every day because it's not done yet. Okay? We say we have no purpose. Yes, you do. Your purpose is to be a watchman, to look and to pray. Because all of these things are a shadow of things to come. Are you looking for those things to come? Shouldn't we look for the coming of the Christ of God? I mean, that's going to be an amazing time. Scary. but amazing. So we should be looking to that. If you're not looking to that, what are you? What are you looking to? Waiting for the kids to grow up? You waiting for the kids to give you more grandchildren? You waiting to get better because the aches and pains you got? Ain't gonna happen. Today is all you got. But tomorrow could be that raptured day. That should be the exciting part. We're going to be raptured in the presence of the living God. You'll have all your questions answered then. And I'm going to question black flies and below zero. Anyway, I don't want to do that, but, you know, Lord. And also, I'm going to question him on a few names. And I think, no, I can't do that either. You know, but, you know, so we're going to have a lot of questions, but I think we're going to be in his presence and we're going to go, holy, holy, holy. How can we go holy, holy, holy all day long? Do you have something about that? How are we going to go holy, holy, holy all day long? Do you have something about that? No? Yes? How are we going to do it? Do you realize the one in whom you're going to be in the presence of, with, for, is that correct? And the sentence with a preposition? I did it anyway, so. But the point is, when you're in God's presence, isn't he the one that keeps things going? Isn't he the one that generates all of that goodness and that quality? And you're in his presence, I think that's all you can do is praise, 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 praise. He keeps renewing you to praise his holy name. Wow. I look forward to that, yes. I'm sorry.
That's what worship practice
means
every day then.
Okay, good, yeah. Right, yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the catechisms, I think, the Westminster Catechism says, what's the very end of man is to glorify God, isn't it? Yeah, so we should practice that, is my point. Instead of finding fault with each other, we should practice praising God. And I think finding fault with each other should stop or fade away. But finding out who God is and what he wants from us to praise him. Look what he's given us. Look what he's done for you. Stop and think about it. What he's done in your life. He's not done yet. So you don't like what you see? Hang in there. He's still working on me. You know? Billy Spears, or I think, yeah, Billy Spears didn't sing one of those songs. He's still working on me. I ain't what I... Anyway, I can't remember it, so. I'm not a songster. I don't do that stuff. I just like them. So we want to look at the Feast of... I want to look again at a little bit of unleavened bread, if we can. Because that's the way I was thinking, so you got me in that line of thinking, and don't get me off it. Leviticus chapter 23, we have to go. Okay? And verse 6. So you got, like, verse 5 says, on the 14th day of the month at even is the Lord's Passover. But on the 15th day of the same month is a feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. So the unleavened bread is God has us understand there's a holy walk that God wants. If this one that died for us was a perfect unleavened one, then should we have any leaven within our heads and hearts and minds? I don't think so. And I think the scripture is indicating that in order to do this, you're supposed to have a holy walk, okay? Now, let me jump back for a verse for you. I'll read it for you. So you can just hold your place right there. All right, somebody's been messing with my book again. Usually it was chicken fat. Now it's turkey fat. The Word of God instructs us. And Peter even picks up the thread of thought. We'll look at that too. Let's see. I'm losing it here. 1 Corinthians. All right, 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. Let me read that for you. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. I love that. as your unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with a leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So there's the church of God today should live in sincerity and in truth, unleavened. Okay, that's what we should be practicing. That or Paul's given us a, you know, bumping on us that we don't need it. And then let me give you another one from Pietro over here. Let me read you something from Peter. I could get you to do it, but it's easy for me to grab it now, because then we'll go on with something else. And in 1 Peter, in the first chapter, he says, but he which hath called you is holy. You don't want me to read the rest, do you? Okay. For he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If you have a black marker, you can black that out. You know, just let's ignore that. Let's get rid of that, because that's... Whew. But it's written for our admonition, right? Shouldn't we learn that? I mean, if we're going to learn something, we should learn at least that. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Of course, that's kind of be separate. You know, to be holy is to be separate for a cause. And this would be for God's purposes. We're separated for that. Whatever that holiness is for each one is not always the same, but it still accomplishes the same. Our coming together to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And now, somebody, if you would, get us Exodus, or let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Pastor was begging off. I hate to have you move around in the scriptures, but you got to do it because the only place it's there. Sorry. So, chapter 12 and verse 15, starting with verse 15. Down at least through verse 19. It says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Okay? Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious, child of God. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. That means... Yeah, a holy order to come together. And on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought out your armies out of the land of Egypt, whereof shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be stranger or born in the land. Wow. He goes on and, you know, you get the idea that God's instructing us having to do with leaven. And what basically is leaven to us today? Yeah, and we don't have to go any further than that, do we? Leaven is sin. Now, how much leaven have we carried around with us today? God says you ought to sweep it out. You ought to get rid of it. You ought to search it out. You know? And as a matter of fact, when we have communion, is there a time when we kind of sweep out the house, you know, go search the place? You got any leaven? That's really what it's all about. God wants us to be what he wants, not what you want. He always wants what you what he wants out of you. And that means no sin. Yes. No, I think it was for a period of time. I don't think it was a permanent thing. There are other permanent things is he shall die. So yeah, so in that case, they're done. But this is they're cast out, so they don't come into the congregation and enjoy the fellowship that it has. Didn't Paul say you're to take some from among you, send them out, they might be ashamed, so they can't have the fellowship among the saints of God? Well, let's face it, sometimes we get to a point where ain't no fellowship here, so I don't care if I leave. Right? We should be so that I don't want to leave this. Why? Because my God has got us loving each other, and this is right. Isn't that what it should be? It's not what it is, but I know that's what it should be, so that you've got to go because you've been, you know, out you go. Whoa, no, don't do that to me. See? And that was the condition of Israel of that day. Don't forget, when Israel came out, they all had that oneness because they all came out under the blood. They're all in this together. They all had the sacrifices. They all had the horns that blew. They all knew what that was all about. They also, remember when Israel sat around the tabernacle in the wilderness? Do you remember how they sat around it? All the tribes were in the position around it, right? So you knew the order of things. When the pillar of cloud changed, you knew you had to gather things up. They had an order of things to be done. Like when David brought the ark and Uzzah touched the ark, well, he wasn't bringing it the right order. When he learned to do the right order, then the ark was brought into Jerusalem. So God's got an order of things. And when we do the right order, joyful. We're not only joyful, but we're doing what God wants, and there's that atmosphere that I think generates that was in those days. They waited for the horn, you know, the shofar, the ram's horn. We had a couple of guys that came around. One guy had a trumpet and one guy had a ram's horn, and they were coming around and they would blow those things. And the ram's horn's interesting. You can buy one if you got $150. I always wanted one, but I never felt like spending $150. So anyway, you wait for that sound. What was that sound? That sound was you were to come together and rejoice because we're going to serve our God by whatever it might be, whatever the feast might be. They came joyfully. We don't want to miss that. So in 11, you can't come now. You can't be a part of that. So it's that kind of thing. It's excommunication and shame on you. You got to be out. Didn't Paul say, set that one out from among you? But then afterwards, let him come back in again because he repented, right? And that should be the process. I think there should be two doors in the church. They can come in the front door and you can also kick them out the back door. You know, but we don't practice that. You know, that's, we could, we should, I think, sometimes. So, but all right, so you get the idea that God is relating to us these things, that there ought to be no leaven in the house, even so that you ought to clean the whole house. You know, he says right here, he says, didn't he say that let something about the house? The feast, anyway, I thought it said something about, yeah, okay, verse 19, say 7 days you shall have no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, so none found in your house. So what did they do, man? They went over the house with a fine-tooth comb. That's where spring cleaning came from, you know, because this, again, if you look at the time when all of these things were supposed to happen, it all worked with the lunar cycle and the time that things grew. So the Passover started with that first day that they chose, and it often was done because of a certain thing that they could see that had grown. And the one time first fruits came out of the barley harvest, okay? And the next one, Pentecost, came out of the midsummer growth that comes, and you can start harvesting that and tabernacles is the final harvest in the fall when you finally, you know, glean your fields. So you had these three times, and the feasts all fit into those times. So here God uses the whole establishment in and out of what we're doing. Our lives revolve around what we do every day, right? We have to eat and we have to have food, and God got the feasts all fit into that. So why can't we rejoice more? I don't know. Rhetorical. You don't have to answer. But you can if you want. Because, you know, I think if we put together what God wants, this building would shake. It happened in the book of Acts. The building shook when the saints of God were attended by the Holy Spirit. Wow, that must have been exciting, you know, amazing time. So, he went to the cross. He fulfilled, well, didn't he say the grain of wheat, lest it fall to the ground and die? He fulfilled that, and that he spoke from the Gospel of John. So, I said, the local church needs to function as unleavened bread, giving no room for the presence of leaven. So the Jews searched through his house to make sure there was no leaven. We only bow our heads during communion and ho-hum, let's get done. We should be more serious about looking into our lives about, is there sin? Have I been critical? You know, you can weigh that yourself. But we don't do that circumspect. So we don't look inside too often, do we? Because I know when I do, I don't like what I see. You know, and I'm too proud to confess it? Would that be a problem? But I think we should. We should be willing to. And that's, I think, what God's got us doing here. That's what he's suggesting for us, to get up and do what he wants. And we can only do what he wants his way. Do you ever stop and think about that? You can only do what God wants his way. He doesn't do it your way. You don't have to. He tolerates us, doesn't he? You know? You that have children, did you ever have the kid help you do something? And couldn't wait till they got to sleep to go change it and make it right? You know? Who are we to help? Oh, we're doing God's things, are we? Oh, boy. Why don't we get out of the way and let God have it? But he tolerates us, doesn't he? You're really late. Whew. Oh, boy. So, anyway, the leaven was for how long? 7 days. There's that seven. I guess if you want to go into the numbers, seven can be applied on a lot of things, can it? As the, you know, the fullness or perfection, that kind of thing. And again, 7 days is the time he gives. So I think maybe covers our life here. I don't know. So Jesus is our unleavened bread. There's no corruption in him at all. None and ever. Even in temptation, Christ remained unleavened. I like that. Even in temptation, he remained unleavened. Boy, we succumb, we fall. We do. So that's why we have to keep checking. Get rid of that leaven. You know, otherwise, so you can be a new lump. I like the, hey, lumps, how you doing? You know, got to be a new lump. You know, I fit the lumpy business, so I'm okay. I fit in. You know, Anyway, so even in temptation. So I think sometimes we need to know Jesus never left the place of obedience and dependence. That's something to consider. That's something to study as well. Jesus' total dependence upon God the Father. And he was God. He walked on the water, raised the dead, healed the sick. He was totally dependent on God the Father. Wow. What an example for us, huh? Are you dependent upon God the Father? He will never forsake you nor leave you. There's no shadow of turning. What's that verse where supposed to be learning? Huh? All right, every good gift, huh? And every perfect. You're going to read it. You got one of these? Okay. James 1:17, anyway, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. And where's it come from? Down from the Father of lights. This is awesome. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's exactly the same as he ever was. You have to study who his name is in Hebrew, and it's amazing. I am that I am, that I ever will be, is part of that understanding of that phrase. Whatever he is, he always will be. Like, God is not love. I'm sorry, he doesn't have love, he is love. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, God doesn't have grace. He is grace. You know, it's awesome who our God is and what we can do to trust him. So we have Jesus as our example. So even in temptation, but he never left the place of obedience and dependence. And I think that's a good place to live. Because why? He lived in sincerity and in truth. How should we live? In sincerity and in truth. Okay? That's our responsibility. So, all right, we got a few more minutes. I want to look at Leviticus, find Leviticus 23 again. We got to go Leviticus 23, and this time, verse 10 and 11. Leviticus 23, verse 10. It says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye have come into the land which I give unto you, and ye shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted of you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So we could keep on reading because that's the narrative, but that part is what I want to look at. He says, you take the first fruits. This is usually the barley harvest was usually the first, rather than before the wheat. The barley was the poor man's wheat, I guess. So the barley harvest came in first, and you take that, and it brought it to the priest, and he would wave it before the Lord. And that was one of the requirements, because the land was given for divine purposes and promises. Now, we want to see who the first fruits are, okay? And we got to go, if you look in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:23. Somebody want to read that for us? 1 Corinthians 15:23. Everyone in his order. Christ is the first fruits. That means there's got to be a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth, right? I guess my question is, what number are you? What number are we? So it's enumerated. And the reason I say that is because I kind of looked it up in the Greek because I was curious. What the Greek indicated on that word. And it comes out logical enumeration. Okay. But in the Hebrew, it's complete, full, and perfect. That's the first fruits. They're complete, they're full, and they're perfect. And that's us in Christ. And then the logical enumeration, you have a number. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's why I think there's going to be the shout, you know, the trump and the shout. I think the shout is going to be the number, you know. We each got a number, and we're going to be raptured one day. So cheer up. We'll soon be dead. So we see the first fruits on order. So the dead in Christ is going to rise first. There's personality or personally fulfilled while on earth. This is going to happen. We don't have to wait to get the glory to get a number. We got one already. And he's going to shout it out when I do. So it would appear that Jesus rose on the Sunday of the week of the first day of the first fruits. So that Friday he was hung on the cross. That Saturday he stayed in the grave and he rose on the first fruits. Isn't that amazing? Those three feasts he fulfilled. Isn't he awesome? Isn't that amazing God we had? Don't forget, he put upon himself flesh and he came into this world and he did these things so you and I could still walk in this world and have encouragement, I think. Otherwise, how do you worship God when he's nowhere to be seen? How do I grasp God? I can look to the cross of Calvary and I see Jesus again. And I look to the manger scene, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son under the law, born of a woman. Wow. The incarnation. Christmas should be special, friends. I know some Christians don't celebrate Christmas because it's a pagan holiday. Yeah, paganism is all over the place. Let's face it. Pagans serve me when I go to get something to eat somewhere, you know? And I got to take it out of the hand of a pagan who cooked it. Wait a minute, did he cook that meat to another god? You know, am I doing something wrong here? We're in a pagan world. So cheer up. We're okay because God is in control and he satisfies himself through the first fruits. And that's us. And he's got you numbered and targeted, and he's waiting that time when he comes and calls. You're going to be raptured. So don't you think he cares for you now? Each and every day? Through your good and your bad times? Yeah, he's always there, never forsaken. Okay? So remember that, because that's what we're here for. So the benefit we received is that we're going to be involved in the resurrection one day. I think that's something to live for. He's coming, and we should be always watchful. We should be the watchman on the tower. In Ezekiel, he speaks about being the watchman on the tower. And how do we watch? When you put on the armor of God, you're to what? Stand and pray. I don't put the armor on to go slam somebody. I put the armor on because now I'm complete in victory, and I'm standing holding the line, and I'm praying. So is prayer important? Vital. That's our link. That's what ties it all together. That's what makes it work. It doesn't work without prayer. A lot of churches are out there. Little prayer. Little churches. Big prayer, big church. We can be a big church. A very big church. Not in number. Because we're willing to pray. And that's what God wants. God wants us. Why did he give us all this? Why the encouragement of the feasts that are going to happen and are yet to happen? Jesus fulfilled three of them. The fourth one he fulfilled in us in Pentecost. And then there's going to be the others, the ingathering and the regathering, I should say. And the process of time will be having a tabernacle somewhere. That is not a tabernacle, but a booth somewhere. And we'll be worshiping God in the millennium. Wow. We're going to be there. It's going to be part of our heritage. It's going to be part of our inheritance. That's where we're going with all this. Otherwise, why do we do this? Why church? What good is church? It's just being religious? Like somebody says, oh, you're religious. No. Jesus is more than religion. It's life. You know, they haven't got life, but we do. So we should be encouraged about that. So the first fruit is the offering of the Lord. And that offering appeared before the Father. Do you know how we know that? Matthew 23:53. Somebody want to find that and read Matthew 27:53. First fruits, huh? Wow. The proof of the resurrection. Wow. I haven't heard very much study on that. I haven't done very much study myself on that. It's always been a kind of a scary place, hasn't it? You know? These people rose from the dead when Jesus did. And they presented themselves. They didn't just rise from the dead. Instead, they walked and they presented themselves like Lazarus when he came forth. Yeah? So that was proof of the day that Jesus presented to the Father as proof of my work, Father. And there were those trophies set forth, the first fruits offering to the Lord. So the saints that rose, and we're going to be a trophy of God's grace when we stand in his presence. Going to be raptured one day, so be encouraged. Okay. We do have some other verses to look at which would help us in this. In let's see. In I'll pick Proverbs for you. And Proverbs, very interesting. 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know, God always wanted the first. That which opened up the matrix was his, he says. All the firsts were his. And if you're a firstborn, you know, you were dedicated to the Lord. So, firstborn, first fruits. He wants you, and you're coming. You're one of the first fruits. So, you're okay, all right? Like I said, you're okay, I'm okay, God don't make junk, right? Remember that? Okay. So, that's in Proverbs. So, it says that you're to honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase. So, Romans 8:23. It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Wow. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. First fruits, waiting. Have patience. God's not done with us yet. You got to go ring the bell now, brother. It's 11:30. Sorry, I'll have to. I'll keep going, but we'll mess up the rest of the schedule. Don't want to do that. So, and Romans also, one more verse we can quickly look at is 11:16. Romans 11:16. I love this one. Yeah. The first fruits is holy, and the lump is also holy. If Jesus is holy of the first fruits, so are we. So don't despair. See what it says? The first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Huh? So rejoice, child of God. That's our word of prayer. Father, thank you for the feasts of God. Thank you that you provided for mankind, and mankind doesn't seem to understand it yet. So, Lord, help us to be in prayer. Help us to be concerned about being holy because he is holy. Help us be concerned about being first fruits, that he's coming for the first fruits. And there's not many first fruits in the land. We need more, dear Lord. So would you bless us as we look to thee for your offering for the rest of the day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.